At any rate, what Shimon Shetach is saying, look, normally when we bench, what do I say? We say Nivareich Elokeinu Shechal Mishalom,
right?
But how can I say Nivareich Shechal Mishalom, Nivareich Shechal? He didn't need anything.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, what should I say? Blessed be God, of whose bounty Yanai and his pouts have eaten. So, what should he do? So, what he did is Shase Lahu Kosa. So he drank the cup of wine. Yahavu Lei Kosach Rina. So then they brought him another cup, right, over which he could recite the benching. In other words, this cup was his meal, the first cup, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they brought him another cup over which he could bench, and he benched.
But he didn't eat anything.
Yeah, but by virtue of the fact that he drank at least something, so then he could be counted to the minion of benchers. You got the idea?
Well, yeah, I understand.
Okay. So Amar Rav Abba, Yivarei Rav Chia Bar Abba. So Rav Abba, the son of Rav Chia Bar Abba, said, "Hey, there's something here that's not right. Why not? Obviously, you can guess what the problem is, right?" Says Shimon ben Shetach, the Ovan, the Garmehu the Ovan. Actually, what Shimon ben Shetach did, he did on his own. The Garmeh is like Latzmo. In other words, he did it on his own. This is not the usual procedure, the fact that all he did was to drink a cup of wine and then to lead the benching, because the Hochi Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, because Rav Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rav Yochanan, he said, Li Oilom Einu Motzi Esarabim Yidei Chavoson Ad Sheyochal Kizayis Dogon. He says, a person cannot be Motzi other people. You know, he cannot lead them so that, you know, he helps them fulfill the mitzvah of benching, unless he himself has eaten at least a kezias of grain.
Made a motzi.
Right, it's made a motzi. He's eaten at least that much. Meisvei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. They asked the following objections. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, all of the hasigim or him. If he literally went up, as we've seen already, this was like a technical expression, meaning that he sat down on the couch where they were all eating. If you remember, they were eating on couches in those days. The Hesedim Mohem, and you know, he dined together with them. Even if all that he did was to dip, let's say, a vegetable into, let's say, a little tzir. Tzir is like a sauce, okay? It's a salty sauce, okay?
He's having a dip.
Right. Okay. And he did not eat with them. Elo grogeris achas. Nothing more than even just one grogeris. Grogeris is a dried fig. In other words, only a quantity of a dried fig. That's all that he ate. Then it's torev. So he can be included in the mezumen. But that doesn't add doesn't answer the question that you raised before, or that they're objecting to. They say it's the roof of mitzvah. Yeah, fine, okay. So he could be counted to the minyan,
counted
to the mezuzah, right? But avola hotzi sarabim yedei chavason to enable others to fulfill, you know, their obligation. No, that he can't do. Ad sheyochal kizayis dovin. Right, until he is eaten a kezias of dough. Right, okay. So in other words, what do we see? We see that, fine, God's fine, you could be counted to a mezumen even if you don't eat, but it doesn't mean that therefore you could lead the benching, because in leading the benching you are enabling everybody. Remember, in those days too, it was possible, instead of everybody benching for themselves,
one person
benched on behalf of everybody. Exactly. So he couldn't do that if he didn't eat at least the kezias. Okay. Omer Avchanan bar Yehuda Mishpeinu Rova, Apilu Loitoval Imohem Elevitzir. Right. Even if he did not do anything, then to dip with them only in the tzir, you know, in the sauce, as I said, Loyocham Imohem Elegogeris Achas. And he did not eat anything with them except for one dried fig, or the size of a dried fig, mitztorev. He can be counted to the mezumen. But ulahotzi es harabim yidei chagosam, in order to enable the multitude to fulfill their obligation, ein motzi, right? He cannot do that ad sheyochal kezayis domen, until he eats a kezayis domen. All right, I think we'll stop at this point tonight. And amir tzashem, we shall continue from this point.
So we're now on 96.
I'll tell you what, we'll do one more line because the inu really ends with one more line.
Okay.
All right.
Memches.
Yeah, we're on Memches Amud Beis right now.
Beis 96.
Right. Omer Rav Chonah bar Yehuda, and Rav Chonah bar Yehuda also said, you know, in a corroborating statement, so to speak, Mishmei the Rav, and the Rav said, Hilchaso, says, Aloha is, Ochal, Ale Yerek, if he's eaten even just one leaf of vegetables, let's say a piece of lettuce or something like that, okay? Vishosa kos shel yayin, and if he drinks a cup of wine, then mitzarev, right? He can be counted to the minyan or to the mezuzah, but nahotzi, eino motzi. In order to enable others, you know, to fulfill their obligation, he cannot do so. Achiyohal kizayisdo, till he eats kizayisdo. All right. So with that, we finished that particular minyan, and then next week in Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to see the rationale behind the Birkas Hamazon. Okay.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So next week we'll meet again after Mincha Maariv. Of course, next week Mincha is moving up, I think, to 6:45. I'm not making a mistake. Yeah. So Mincha will be at 6:45. We'll finish davening approximately 7:15 or something like that, and we'll learn
for an hour.
Learn for an hour and a quarter, whatever it may be.
Keep following the davening right after the davening.
Right. Next week. Yeah. Right. They're having a lecture, aren't they, next week? So I'll stop him where we left off.
Okay. We're on Memches.
Memches. We are on the second side, you know, Omid Beis. And we are on the sixth line from the top.
Okay.
Okay.
And this is the 23rd of September.
Right. Okay. All right. Omer Rab Nachman. Nachman said, Moshe tikkun Yisrael birchas hazon, b'shoshiran lahem mon. Okay, when did the birchas hazon start? So Rav Nachman says that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who ordained that we should bench, but which particular bracha? The first bracha, hazon esoilam. When did he say that? It was upon the occasion when the manna descended for the people of Israel. So in gratitude to God for the manna, that's when he made the bracha hazon esoilam. Okay, Yehoshua, he came to him birkas haoretz. Joshua came along, and he ordained that they should recite the second bracha, the birkas haoretz. In other words, the blessing literally for the land of Israel. Gave him shenich the sudoretz. In other words, he thanked God for the fact that they had now entered Eretz Israel. David and Shlomo, tiknu bani Yerushalayim. David and Solomon, they were the ones who ordained the third bracha of the Birkas HaMazon, the one which concludes with Bnei Yerushalayim. Of course, the theme is we praise God who is the builder of Jerusalem, but what specifically did each contribute? So we say, David tikein al Yisrael amecha. You know, David prayed to God, and he said, you know, Rachem al Yisrael amecha, Rachem al Yisrael amecha, have mercy upon thy people Israel. And also upon thy city Jerusalem, because after all, who was it who had conquered the city of Yavuz and made the city of Yavuz into the city of Yerushalayim? It was David HaMelech. So after his conquest of the city, so he praised God also for the fact that now the Jews had Yerushalayim as their holy city. And Shlomo came along, his son Solomon, and he was the one who ordained that they should include the phrase Alabayis HaGadol HaKadosh for the great and holy house of God, in other words, for the Beis HaMikdash. HaTov HaMeitiv, how about the fourth bracha of the benching? You know, HaTov HaMeitiv, it says V'Yavne Tiknuva. That was ordained in Yavne when Yochanan ben Zakkai reconstructed the Sanhedrin in Yavne. after the Romans had destroyed the city of Yerushalayim, destroyed everything over there, and he had to rebuild Jewish life from scratch. So at that particular point, he ordained that we should recite the Brocha HaTov HaMeitiv. Why? It's Keneged Harugei Beitar. It was in order to thank God for what had happened to those who were slain, the Jews who were slain in Beitar, which was the last fortress which held out against the Romans. The Omer Rav Nasan, as Rav Nasan said, also Hayom, that very day, Shedutu Harugei Beitar Lebura, when those who had been slain in Beitar were permitted by the Romans, in other words, to be buried. So Tiknu B'Yavne, then they ordained in Yavne HaTov HaMeitiv. Why? HaTov, praising God who is good, Shelo Yisrichu, that the corpses did not putrefy during the time that the Romans did not permit them to be buried. The HaMeitiv, and God who does good, Shenitu L'Kvura, that the corpses were finally permitted to be buried. Yes.
You know, last week I asked you where Beitar was.
Right.
This week I was reading the Jerusalem Post. I'm good at wasting time. So I was reading the Jerusalem
Post. Not wasting time. We always learn from you.
And as Dr. Miller pointed out, Beitar was the last security stronghold of Bar Kokhba. So Rabin ordained certain cities where construction can still take place because they're security settlements, but they're not really settlements, they're big cities. And one, of course, is Ma'ale Adumim. And as I was reading, the other one was Beitar.
Mm.
It's interesting, you know? The current of history.
Must be on a hill of some kind or some special advantage.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's
sure.
Interesting.
History is painting itself.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. I'm glad you brought it up. I should talk.
Okay. You know, there's Gemara that says, Afilu sichat chulin shal tamidei chachomim tzrichalim, that even the ordinary conversation of tamidei chachomim requires that you should pay attention and learn something.
Of course.
So you see, every contribution that we make, the source is tzrichalim, but you have to pay attention and learn something. So yashar koach. All right. The Gemara now continues. Okay. Tan Rabba. Now we have another tradition. Seder Birkas HaMozon Kachi. This is the order in which the Birkas HaMozon is to be recited. Brocha Rishoyno is Birkas Hazon. Okay? First Brocha is the Brocha Hazon and Zoyla. Shniyo, Birkas Horetz. The second one is, of course, the Brocha that you recite praising God to the land of Israel. Shlishis, the third one is Bnei Yerushalayim. Raviyis, Hatov HaMeitiv. Right? So far, so good. No problem. Now on Shabbos, what do you do in order to recognize the coming of, the fact that we're celebrating Shabbos? So, Matchil b'nechoma u'mislaim nechoma. So the answer that is given over here is that you begin in that bracha where we praise God, or where we beg God to have, to console us and to have mercy upon us, and he concludes with the same thing. Now, of course, in other words, the bracha which begins, Rachem ad Hashem al kol Yisrael amecho, this is where we add also the reference to Shabbos. And then how do we conclude it? We conclude it again with Uvnei Yerushalayim Merakosh Ben Omeinu Baruch Ato Rishen Ben Varach Mishlam. Okay? So that you begin then with Nechama, as he says, words of consolation for the rebuilding of Zion, and you conclude likewise. And in between you say the Baruch of the paragraph for Shabbos. Alright? God's fine. And he says, he says that paragraph wherein we speak of the holiness of the day, in other words, praising God for having given us the gift of the Shabbos, that goes in the middle with that bracha. All right. So this is an anonymous statement, okay? It's to be based on the Tosefta and so on. Okay. And of course, we follow that practice, no question about it, but as we already have seen many, many times, we follow it because as time went on, this became accepted as being the proper way. But not everybody in the early days was in agreement. They had other ideas as well. And we have one such idea expressed right now. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says, Ratzali Omra ben Echomo, Omra, if he feels like saying it, in that particular paragraph that we mentioned, in other words, in Rachem, Adashem, Lekin, Mishel, Amecha, then he says it over there. Bivikas words, however, what if he decided to say it instead in the second bracha, you know, Alorot V'Alamozin, and then to include the paragraph of Shabbos before it? So, Omra. B'bracha Shetikul Chachom B'Yavne, and what if he wants to say it not in the first or the second? Well, at first he didn't say that. Hazon, nobody questions that you don't.
The first bracha is
okay?
Clear.
Yeah. But if you don't want to say it either in the third or in the second bracha, what if you felt like saying it in the fourth bracha, the one where the Chachomim ordained that it should be said, the Chachomim in the city of Yavne ordained that it should be recited? So Omro, he says, then you can say it over there. The Chachomim Omrim, but the sages say, in answer to Rabbi Eliezer, they say, Eino Omer Elben Chom Bilvad. You say it only in that bracha where we praise God to have mercy upon Zion. So they ask an obvious question. Chachomim Hainatanakama. Aren't these sages in agreement with the statement that we read just a couple of lines above, where it says that you say it in Nechoma, right? You begin with Nechoma and you conclude with Nechoma. The anonymous statement that we read, right? In a few lines above. So aren't they in agreement with each other? So they say, you could be Nayu the Yevon. The difference is the Yevon. The Yevon means that if you did it, you know, then you don't have to undo it, so to speak. You don't have to do it over again. So, according to the first opinion, the anonymous one, since they didn't stress, I mean, all that they said is that it should be said in, you should begin with Nechama and conclude with Nechama. So the idea being then that in what, if he followed Rabbi Eliezer's opinion and he did in one of the other brachas, so, but yeah, but it would be Yotzim. Okay, whereas those Chachamim who say that Eino Omra Ela B'Nechama Bilvad, and the accent is upon the word Bilvad, only in the bracha of Nechama, and in that particular case, what would be the implication? The implication, of course, would be that you have to say it over again if you do forgot the paragraph of Shabbos. All right, I'm not paskening over here exactly what the din is. There are actually two basic dinim over there. Okay? One we'll see in Yes Hashem a little bit further on tonight, if we have time. And that is, if you remember, for example, before you make the bracha, Atova Hametiv, then in that particular case, you can conclude the bracha with a reference to Shabbos. We praise God on Nesu Shabbos Am Yisrael, something like that. Okay, instead of concluding with Bunei Yerushalayim, but we conclude it that way. Okay, that's one.
Where is Ritz say, where is that in the Birkat HaMetzon?
Ritz say?
Yeah,
right, that's in the third paragraph. Why don't we take a sitter so we'll see what they're talking about. Take any ordinary sitter.
Usually after
third bracha begins, Rachem Adashem El Kehu Yisrael Amech V'Shalom Berechot Yimishkan V'Nechot Etzot 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 V'Olai. Then we say Adashem El Kehu Yisrael Amech V'Shalom Berechot Yimishkan, right? Then at that particular point, this is where we add with say V'Akal Yitzenu on Shabbos. Okay? And then after that, then we conclude with Nechama by saying Ubinei Yerushalayim Ha'akosh V'Meinu Baruch Hashem V'Nei Marach V'Nei Shalom Amein. Okay? This is the way it should be done. But sometimes we forget. It happens. So this is what
so
the question
what,
is right
what
now.
Would be the what would be the substitution for Shabbos instead of Bnei Yerushalayim?
Either Mekadesh or Shabbos. Mekadesh or
Shabbos.
Right, understood. I mean,
but you do have a paragraph that you add in for Shabbos when you're mentioned for Shabbos.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a separate paragraph.
I don't understand. Which
in
one
the Birkas HaMazon.
Yeah.
There's
you're
a separate paragraph.
You're not referring to the are you?
No.
There's
a separate paragraph.
Yeah,
Ritzei Achalitzeinu.
Right. But the question is not, I mean, we've settled that it belongs in the third bracha. That we've settled. Okay? Yeah. Contrary to Rabbi
right.
Eliezer. Okay?
Correct.
Huh?
Yeah. But the question is, well, if you forgot it.
Oh, if you forgot it.
If you got to say it, then what do you have to do? So, The basic response is...
Oh, you can say it in the following, in the Neir Shalom, then. I see. If you forgot the paragraph where it say,
yeah.
you can
say Baruch Atah Hashem right at the end over there.
Kaddish Shabbos.
Right. This is the idea.
What can you do? I'm sorry.
But
you lost me.
If you forget to say this paragraph,
you get
on Shabbos,
say.
You get this, if you forget to say this paragraph,
right.
You can say it here.
Oh, okay.
You don't say the paragraph, but you end it off by saying Baruch Atah Hashem. Something like Kaddish Shabbos.
Oh.
So you don't have to go back and re-say and repeat the say or the whole Jacob's Muslim. Yeah, that's something.
Well, that's only, I mean, as I say, if you forgot and you remembered before starting the next prophet. But what if you start already the next prophet?
Yeah, yeah.
In that case, you're supposed to go and repeat the adventure.
Yeah. You're finished.
Unless you want to follow Rabbi Elias.
Oh, not a bad guy to follow.
Wait till the Chacham, I assure you. But the Chacham didn't agree with him in old times. Lots of times they disagree with him. It's like Gates.
So.
All right. So, Tana Rabba. Now they ask another question. They want to know, how do we know that Birkas HaMazon is ordained in the Torah? The Torah itself says that we have to, it's a mitzvah, to bench. Right. So Shenemar, so the pasuk of course tells us, V'yachalto v'savoto v'irachto, right? That you shall eat and be satisfied and you shall bless. Zu Birkas HaMazon, Zu Birkas HaZon, this tells us that we have to recite the bracha HaZon Yisraelam. Then the pasuk continues, you know, V'yachalto v'savoto v'irachto is HaRashem HaLekecha. So what is HaRashem HaLekecha? He says, Zu Birkas HaZimun. Of course, it's an anonymous statement again that we find in this chapter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the author of this particular statement says that Sarashem Alekefa, this is a reference to the fact that if you have three or more people reading together, then you have to say Rabosai, Nevarech, etc., etc., okay? How does he derive that? Because it's written, you know, Sarashem Alekefa. In other words, what do we add in order to praise God? We add this, come and let us praise God, right?
Yes, yeah. Right.
So it
has to be more than...
Right. Well, this is what this particular statement says, okay? And then the pasuk continues, Al Haaretz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Zu Birkas Haaretz. This is a reference then that you have to make the bracha of Birkas Haaretz. Hatova, what is the word Hatova? Zeh Bonu Yerushalayim. It says this tells us that we have to make the bracha Bonu Yerushalayim. Now, what is the connection between Hatova and Yerushalayim? So the answer is, V'chein Hu Omer, we have a tradition which says that when it's written in Parsha V'Eschanan, Ha'or Hatova Zeh V'Halvonon, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see this goodly mountain and the Lebanon, he's referring to the Beis Hamikdash. He wants to see Har Tzion, and he wants to see the Beis Hamikdash over there. This is his dream. Because Lebanon, as I explained to you, this is because the Beis HaMikdash was built of cedar trees that were floated down from Lebanon on the ocean, and then they were transported overland from Yafo to Yerushalayim, and then that's how they built it, okay? And therefore, Hatova then is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, and of course, Ohor Hatov. What is the mountain upon which the Beis HaMikdash is? Of course, it's Har Tzion. Okay. By the way, what they call Har Tzion today in Yerushalayim is not really Har Tzion.
Oh, really?
Right.
Mount Zion is not Mount Zion.
Right. It's an outcrop, but in reality, what they have in mind when the Torah, when we speak about Har Tzion in the Nach, you know, in the Nevi'im, and so on and so forth. The reference there is really to what is called also the Har HaBayis. In other words, the mountain upon which the Holy Temple is built. Yeah.
I just want to make this clear because I see this all the time. Where Har Moriah is in Bayit HaKadosh, was that also Har Tzion? I mean, was that like a little range or something, and then where the Har Tzion is today.
Har Moriah, okay. In all probability, Har Moriah originally was the name upon which the Beis HaMikdash was eventually built.
Right.
After all, in Avraham Avinu's time,
so the Kedar,
there was no Beis HaMikdash yet over there.
Right.
So that was Har HaMoriah.
Right.
Afterwards, Har HaMoriah was the site upon which the Beis HaMikdash was built, and at that particular point, then they called it the Har HaBayis. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think
they refer to it all the time also, not only Har HaBayis, but you know, particularly they refer to it over there as Har Tzion.
All right. Okay.
But is the Har Tzion that they refer to today, is that part of the same location? Is it close to it?
It's close to it. It's sort of like a outcropping of
it. It is an outcropping. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
but
you're asking.
Not,
but it's not exactly the site upon which the Beis HaMikdash
is. No, obviously it's not the site.
That would be the Har HaBayis.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we see what is the connection over there, and then Asher Nosan Loch Zuatova Meitiv. Now, how do we get that Asher Nosan Loch refers to Zuatova Meitiv? Whatever God has given you, that's the answer. As we'll see a little bit later on, that we have to thank God for the good as well as for the evil. Okay. Whatever God deals to us in life, we have to be grateful to God. All right. So far so good. But as we'll see, Rebbe is in disagreement. Well, I skipped a line. Okay. Gemara says, Ein li'ela li'achrav. Okay? I know from the pasuk that what? That you have to praise God after you have eaten. Right? In other words, this is remember, reference to Birkas HaMazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
When is Birkas HaMazon? After you have eaten. Acharav. Okay, lefono benayim. But how do I know that we have to praise God before we eat? So he says, amid kal v'chomer. This we learn through a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, remember, means that you figure it out logically. What is the logic? Logic is kishahu saveya. If when a person is already full because he's full, he's eaten mevorech and he praises God, kishahu roev lekol shekein. Then if he's hungry, all the more reason to praise God for the opportunity to eat food. So from this, logically, we figure out that you should make a bracha before, just as the Torah tells us you have to make a bracha afterwards. Okay? Now, Rebbe comes along and he says, I don't need that kind of reasoning. Why? Because I have a different interpretation. He says, V'ochalto v'savoto v'rachto, right? Zu birkas hazon. Okay, so far we're in agreement that the achaldu is what the verachdu means that you have to say the brocha hazon and soil. Okay. Aval birkas hazimun, which, you know, the Tosefta had said, we derive from Esad Hashem lekecho, he says, no, that's not the source why we have to have zimun, you know, why if you have three or more people eating together, you have to bench with the mezuman. That, he says, is begat l'ad Hashem iti napka. This I derive from the pasuk which says God lo Hashem iti. God lo Hashem iti, if you remember, means you extol God together with me. Now God lo is plural and iti with me. So in other words, it implies that if
these
two others plus me are there, then in that case, that's when we have a mezuman and you're required to do that. So in that case, al ha'aretz, all right, this again, he's in agreement. You know, the zub yukas ha'aretz, atovo zub ben mishlaim. You know, he's in agreement so far. The chen hu omer, and likewise, just as before, we said ha'or atovo zub halvono, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is derived from al ha'aretz atovo, from the word atovo. But the tov ha'metiv, he says biyabdetiknu, right? That is something that was already ordained and added in Yavne. This is not part of the original commandment of the Torah that you have to make that bracha. Then he says, Hein li'ela li'achrav. All right? We know that the Torah stresses the fact that after you've eaten, you have to bench, right? Lefono of Menayim. How do I know beforehand? Talmud Lomar, in other words, he does not derive the fact that we have to make a bracha for the food that we're about to eat beforehand, simply on the basis of the kal v'chomer, on the basis of logic, but he says, no, I have a pasuk for it. And what is the pasuk? Talmud Lomar, he says, the pasuk says, Asher Nosan Loch, which he has given unto you, Mishen Nosan Loch. In other words, once God has given you opportunity to eat food, then you have to be grateful to him and praise him before you eat. Rabbi Yitzchak, he comes along and has a different interpretation. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Eino Tzorich. No, I don't need that. I have my own. He says, Harehu Omer. Why? Because we have another pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Uveirach Islach Becho V'yes B'mecha. And God will bless your bread and will bless your water. Right? So he says, Al Tikrei Uveirach. Do not read it as Uveirach, Ela Uvorech. But read it rather as Uvorech. If you take a look, of course, when we see this, we could read it anyway, right? All right, now we know. The Masorah tells us, in other words, the tradition, that it is Uveirach Islach Mecha. Obviously, this is also the meaning. If you take it, I mean, you know, in its own context, that could be the only, right? But when you're looking, you know, in order to find something in the Torah to justify an opinion that you can change the voweling around if it lends itself to the drash, as we say. And here it lends itself to the drash, according to him. It says that the drash is uvorech eslach b'cho, bless the bread that you're going to eat and the wine, all right? The mosai karui lechem. When, after all, can we consider it bread? It says kodesh she'achlenu. That's before you eat it. After it's eaten, it's no longer there. And so, if you're going to make a bracha, v'orech eslach b'cho, as he interprets it, right, then it has to be before you eat it. Rab Nosson Omer, he comes along with a different interpretation. He says, hey, no, it's all right. No, I don't need that reasoning. I have my own. Arehu Omer, the Pasuk says, this time it's the Pasuk which comes to Shmuel Aleph. They're referring to the fact that Shaul, who's been looking for the donkeys of his father, he comes to a town where Shmuel is due to arrive, because he's heard that Shmuel is a man of vision. He is called over there the Roeh, the person who can see things. Okay? And maybe he could tell him, you know, where the donkeys disappeared to. So the women in town say to him, Kiboachem Hoyer, when you come to the city, of course, why is it in the plural? Because Shaul was accompanied by a couple of other of the servants in the house. All right, so he says, when you get to the city, Kain Timsun or so, you will find him, B'terem Yaleh Habamasa, before he goes up to the high place, the Echol, in order to eat. Ki lo yurchal ho'om adbo, because the people will not eat until he comes. Ki hu yivorei chazevach, because he is going to bless the sacrifice. Achrei chein yochlu akrim. After that, the people who are invited to eat, they'll eat. Okay, so what do we see from that pasuk? First, you have to make a bracha over the zevach, over the food that's going to be eaten. And after you made the bracha, so then, you know, you eat. So we have that case. Now, Gemara also wants to know, the kol chach loma, why did the women say so many things to Shaul? You know, when you come to the city, you find him, and you go up before he goes up to the bama, etc., 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 etc. They could have said, you know, simply to him, he's coming to the town, and nobody can eat until he's made the bracha, instead of going to the whole Megillah that they go through. So there are two explanations. One of them is Lefisha and Roshan Davron Yoshein. One is that women like to talk a lot, and so therefore that's why they gave all this lengthy introduction to tell him that Shmuel will be showing up and down over there, and he will bless the food before people can eat from it, right? And the other explanation is Shmuel, this is not Shmuel Anovi, this is, you know, Rabbit Shmuel, Omar, he said, it's because the women, as well as the men, they loved to gaze upon the beauty of Shaul. So they wanted to keep him longer in conversation so that they could look at him a longer period of time. Why? Because Shaul was a very handsome man. It is written, Mishichvo v'malo, from his shoulders up, gavoh mikolom. He was taller than any other person. So he was such a beautiful specimen of a human being that they talked a little bit longer so that they could gaze upon him a little bit longer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan says, why did they talk a little bit longer? He says, the fish ain't malchus no gods b'chaver, talk apilatum leimim. Because one kingdom cannot infringe upon another kingdom even to the extent of a hair's breadth. Okay? Meaning that Shmuel's kingdom was coming to an end, and Shaul's kingdom is coming into being. But the time had not yet elapsed for Shmuel's kingdom to come to an end, and so that's why the women talked a little bit longer, because the moment had not yet arrived.
Right.
Okay. Now, the Gemara, this is the rule for us. V'yein v'yela birkas hamazon. Okay. Now, all right. So I've learned what? That in the case of birkas hamazon, we have to do what? Torah ordains that we have to make a bracha after it. But I've proved to you by all these various reasons, everybody's own different reasoning, but nevertheless, we've proved what?
That
you have to make a bracha before too. All right. So, birkas haTorah minayin. How do we know that the same thing is true as far as making the bracha for the Torah? So, Omer Rabbi Yishmael, it's kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yishmael says this is a kal v'chomer. Also, logically, why? Al chaye yisho mevorech. If a person blesses God for only something which is a temporary pleasure. In other words, when we eat, right? But, you know, after a while, the food is gone, and after it's digested in your tummy, then, you know, that's it. Now, if we should be grateful to God for that, so then, al chaye olam haba lekol shekein, then certainly we should be grateful to God for the life of the world to come, and therefore we should praise God both before studying Torah and after studying Torah. Rabbi Chiya bar Nachmeni, Talmid of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Chiya bar Nachmeni, who was the Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, he says in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, he says, Einu Tzorech, I don't need that. Why? Harehu Omer, it's written in the Torah, Alo Oretz HaTov, Vashinosamach, right? We praise God for the good land which He has given you. And subsequently it says, right? That God says, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the Torah and the mitzvahs. So, in other words, he's making a comparison between what? Between the word give, okay? In other words, the land is a gift by God to us, the land and its produce, you understand? And the Torah is likewise a gift to us. Now, if the Torah is a gift to us, then what applies to the land, namely that we have to make the bracha for the food of the land before and after, so the same thing would apply to the Torah. That we have to bless before and after the reading of the Torah or the study of Torah. Rabbi Meir Omer, and Rabbi Meir says, how do we know that just as a person has to praise God, has to bless them for the good things that happen, we also have to do it for the bad things that happen to us? Talmud Loma, so he derives it from the same pasuk, Asher Nosan Lecha Hashem Lekecha, which the Lord your God has given unto you. Dayoncha, in other words, God is judging you, and you have to accept His judgment. Bechol din shedoncha, in any judgment that He He judges you. Bein midot tovo, bein midot peronos, whether it is, you know, for good or whether it is for punishment. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra Omer, Eino Tzarech, he says, I don't need that interpretation because I have another way to teach it. Harehu Omer, it's written, Ha-Tovo, right?
Tovo.
Ha-Tovo. So it says, Tovo, if it only said Tovo, Zu Torah, then this would be the Torah. How do I know? Because the word Tov is used in connection with Torah. What is the pasuk? Chinu Omer ki lekach tov nasati lochem. Right? I have given you good teaching, and of course, what is this good teaching? This is the Torah. So therefore, we know that the Torah is good. Okay. Hatovor, but why does it say in the pasuk hatovor? So zu binyan Yerushalayim. This is in reference to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, or literally the building of Yerushalayim. Chinu Omer ha'hor hatov hazev halvon. We saw before, you know, this good mountain, and the Lebanon, the base of English. Tanya. Now we learn. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says, Kol shelo yomar eretz chem dato rechovo, bevirkas ha'oretz, u'malchus beis David bebon yushalayim le'yotzi yodei chavosim. Your benching is not complete unless you have mentioned the following things. What do you have to mention? And the second bracha you have to mention, we praise God who has given us Eretz Chemdo, a land which is beloved, right? Tova, which is good. Rechova, a wide land. Okay? And the same thing in Bonu Yerushalayim, it isn't enough simply to thank God for Yerushalayim, but we also have to thank God for what? For Malchus Beis David, and pray on their behalf, okay? So if you haven't included these elements in the benching, then lo yotzei ydei chova, so you have not fulfilled properly the mitzvah of benching. Nachum Adzokin Omer says, Sorek sheyizkor ba bris. He says, not only these things, but you have to mention also the idea of bris, of covenant. Now, of course, I mean, we know that this has been incorporated, you know, in the second paragraph, right? The al-briskosh or something, sorry. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Sorek sheyizkor ba Torah. He says, we also have to thank God for Torah. Yal Torah, right? So we have to mention that too. Palima Omer, and Palima says, in what order do we do it? So he says, Sarif Sheyakdim Bris Litov. Says, you first have to mention, you know, praise God for the Bris, for the covenant that we made with us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Before Torah. Why? Shezu Nitna Visholish Brisos. Because the Torah was given with three covenants. What are the three covenants? So if you remember, three times God made a covenant with the people of Israel in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the days of the Torah. The first, of course, was at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, you know, this is the first time that he made a bris with the people of Israel. And then, what was the second time? Okay.
Second time?
Yeah. Okay, the second time was, of course, when the people of Israel traveled towards Eretz Yisrael, okay? Then they made a covenant again. And the third time is what we would say in Arvos Moav, just before the death of Moshe. He spoke to the people of Israel that they should ratify, you know, as the Divrei Abris. We'll be reading it the Shabbos in the Torah, in Parshan itself, okay? V'lo etchem levadchem, anochi kareis habris hazoz, yesolikim sashay yeshdo po, v'asher enenu po. In other words, this covenant is to be made with those of you who are here and those of you who are not here. Everyone, every Jew is included in the bris. So three times then we speak about the covenant that God gave, that the people of Israel said that they would obey the Torah as God's covenant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not important.
Yeah. Did you want to add something?
No.
If you take a look at the Rashi, he mentions different things over there. All right, let's take a look at Misholish Brisos. The last Rashi, it's a somewhat long one over there, okay? It says, Torah Nitu Misholish Brisos, that the Torah was given with three covenants. It says, B'shloshim Mekomos Nitna HaTorah LeYisrael. There were three different places where the Torah was given to the people of Israel. B'Sinai, right? Sinai was the first place. Ohel Moed, and then in the tent, you know, with the tabernacle. Uva Har Grizim, and finally, right, when they came to Mount Grizim, Uva Arbos Moav, and on the steps, the plains of Moab, overlooking Eretz Yisrael, Uva Chol Echot Nichus Obris, and in every one of them, a covenant was made between God and Israel, Kedatanyim and Sefer Soito, Arur Bichlal, the Arur Bifrat. You know, this past Shabbos we read a whole series of Arur, Arur Yishashel Yakim Misdivetor Azos, etc. Okay? So, what do we mean by this? So the Gemara Sotah says, why do we have so many Arurs? Because it's not just for individual things that are mentioned, but it's Arur Bichlal. It means that we speak about accepting the Torah in its generality, the Arur Bifrat, and also accepting the Torah in all the various items, the various particulars that we have. V'chein b'yohel moed, and likewise in the yohel moed, we find shenema ele divrei habris, is the very end of the tochicha, if you remember. Ele divrei habris, asher tzivad Hashem es Moshe, lechrosis b'nei Yisrael, b'yaretz Moav, milvad habris, asher kras yitom b'choreh. That this is the covenant which God commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, in addition to the bris which he made with them in Horeb and Sinai. Ulchesiv, and it's written also in the same paragraph, right, Ushmatem is the very habris, that you shall observe, you know, keep the words of this covenant. All right. So the Torah then was given with how many covenants? Three of them. The Zu did not be Yud Gimel Bris.
Second
bris
was made when again?
In the Ohel Moed. Okay, the first one is on Mount Sinai itself. That was the original.
Oh, that's always good.
Okay. And then, during all the time that God revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and all the way, and, you know, gave him section after section of the Torah.
Right.
So this was also, okay? And then they ratified it once more as they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Or when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Depends which way you read Rashi. Arvos Moav is before they actually entered Eretz Yisrael. Right?
Right.
The Arvos Moav. That's what the Pasuk says.
Mm-hmm.
But then Rashi also throws in, for good measure, the Har Gerizim, which after all could not have taken place you know, in the Arvos Moav, because Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, they're on the other side of the Jordan River there where the city of Shechem is.
Right.
Yeah. Alright. Bizu, as far as the Bris Mila, right, circumcision, this Nitno Biyogimu Brisos, this was given with 13 expressions of Bris. If you'll take a look in the paragraph at the end of Parsha Lech Lecha, where we have, you know, God tells Abraham, right, he tells him, your name will no longer be Avram, your name is going to be Abraham, right? And then it mentions, you know, that Hakimosi is Brisit Toch, and what is the Bris essentially? It's Himolochem Kozachar, that every male is to be circumcised, and so on and so forth, okay? Now the word Bris over there is found exactly 13 times.
In the Torah.
In the Torah, but in that particular section where we have the Bris Mila mentioned, okay? So that therefore, what does it show? So according to him, it shows therefore that the Bris takes precedence over the Bris of the Torah. Because one has 13, the other one is 3. Therefore we should mention it first, okay? The Al Bris Kosher Samti Bisoreinu, the Al Toros Kosher Limanitan, which is of course the Nusuf that we follow. Okay? The benching, we have to thank God for doing, you know, giving thanks. We have to thank God both at the beginning and at the end of the book. And as Rashi points out, what is the list? Take a look at the second line of Rashi over there. Itself, you see, it says, no doubt, Hashem is the king. Right. In other words, let's give thanks unto God and so on. And then it says, the Al Kulam, Hashem is not the mode in love, right? And for all these. So, in other words, the idea of thanks, you know, thanksgiving to God in this particular bracha is mentioned both at the beginning and at the end of the bracha. So, and he says, Apoches lo yivkos mi'echad. And if you leave out one, then you still have to mention at least one. You cannot, you know, leave it out altogether. And if you give less, if you don't even mention the idea of thanksgiving, areizem good, then this is something to be condemned. It's me, it's not right, okay? The Apochem, and now apparently there are different questions as to how we should conclude that drop. Of course, we know how do we conclude it. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Al Ha'aretz V'Al Hamozah. This is what we say. But there were other ideas at that time as to how to conclude the bracha. One of them is the Kol HaChosin. Whoever concludes the bracha by saying Man Chil HaRotzeis B'Birkas Al Ha'aretz, right? We praise God, you know, who is Man Chil HaRotzeis, who enables us to possess lands. U'Moshiach Yisrael. Or the Bonu Yishalayim, the next prophet, he says, Baruch HaTor Hashem, Moshiach is Yisrael, Ubonu Yishalayim, who saves Israel and rebuilt Jerusalem. He says, Harez the Bor. This is the sign of an ignoramus.
Why is it the sign of an ignoramus?
It's a sign of an ignoramus because we shouldn't throw in too many things. We should stick to the Nusach, which are finally has been formulated, and not add things that are not particularly germane to the idea, okay? All right, we'll see in a second also that they don't think it's such a good practice. All right. And then he continues and he says, V'chol she'no emer bris v'torah v'birkas ha'aretz, as we've already seen on the bottom of the previous page, and whoever does not include thanks to God for the covenant, right, and for the Torah, in the second bracha, you know, the Birkas Hashem, or Malchus Beis David, or if you fail to include the reference to the kingdom of David,
in Bodhi Yerushalayim, it says Lo Yotzei Dei Chavoso. He has not fulfilled his obligation of that Shabbat. Messiah Leila Rabbi Lai, and now this statement is also a support for a statement made by Rabbi Lai. The Amar Rabbi Lai, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Aracho, Rabbi Lai said in the name of Yaakov Aracho, Mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of Rabbi, he says, Kol Shel Omar Bris Vesod Birkas Oretz, Umalchus Vesod Bebein Rishalayim, Lo Yotzei Dei Chavoso. Alright, so in other words, the original statement is also the statement that was made by Rebbe, and so this statement comes along and supports the same statement, the similar statement made by Rebbe. There is a machlokas, difference of opinion between Abba Yossi ben Tostai and the rabbis. Kadomar, one of them says, Atobe Anetiv Smichomal. He says that when you make the bracha, you know, the fourth bracha, you have to say, Baruch Ator Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hatov HaMeitav Itzel, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, we add a lot more. We say, Ho'el, Avinu Malkeinu, Adoreinu, etc., etc. I mean, that's what we say, okay? But the point is, why do we begin it? We begin it with Baruch Ator Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, right? So this is the opinion of one of these two authorities, okay? The Chadomar, but the other one says Einot Zvicha Malchus. Does not require that we say Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Now, on what basis is that? All right, so this is what we have to see right now. Mando Matzvicha Malchus, the one who says that you have to start in the bracha by saying Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, he says Kosovar the Rabban. The reason is because he says this was first added by the rabbis, so it's not part of the original. Since it wasn't part of the original, therefore it's a separate bracha. This is what he said. And if it's a separate bracha, then in that particular case, you have to start with Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, like any bracha that you normally start. When don't we start with the bracha, but conclude only with the bracha? The answer is when it's a continuation of the previous one. As for example, in the Shmoneh Esrei, right, you know, Ato Gibor, etc. I mean, the rest of the Shmoneh Esrei after the first bracha, we don't start with Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam or whatever it may be, but instead we simply conclude Baruch Ator Hashem, Achayam Eismon, Hashem, Okel HaKodesh, etc., etc. Okay? Why? Because it is Smucha L'Chaverta, it's included with it. So the machloikas over here, the difference of opinion, is simply, can we say that inasmuch as we have proved that the first three brachas are all ordained by the Torah, we have great authorities, Abraham, not Abraham, but Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yehoshua, and David and Shlomo, and so on and so forth, so that therefore we would say then that, you know, those three, you know, you make Hazon, okay, but Nodel Lechor, you don't start at the beginning, only at the end, because it's a continuation. And the same thing with Rachim, where, again, we don't start with Baruch Hator. But since this is not part of that which was ordained, Minat Torah, so to speak, so this was only ordained by the rabbis at a later period, so that therefore, this is why we begin with Baruch Hator. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what he says. And of course, this is the practice that we follow. But the Omar Einot Zvicha Malchus, the one who is of the opinion that you do not have to begin with Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, and you know, okay, Elovinu Malkeinu, but simply you say, okay, Elovinu Malkeinu Adonai, and so on, without, you know, the reference to that, he says Kasava D'Oraisa. His opinion is that this too is part of the has been ordained by the Torah. How does he figure that? Well, that, if you take a look again, remember that one of the opinions that says, you know, Aloretz, we said over here, but Asher Nosan Lo, okay? Since he proves that the whole Pasuk, you know, can be interpreted for different parts of the Birkas HaMazon, so that therefore Asher Nosan Lo, they interpret it also in the sense that, you know, that also is a reference to the fourth paragraph, because whatever God has given unto us, whether it's for good or for bad, we have to still be grateful to Him for the fact that we're alive and you know, and He has His eye on us, so to speak. Okay? All right. We'll stop at this particular point this evening.
Okay.
And I'm running out of voice, and also
we're on.
So we're now right in Mem Tes,
Amud
Aleph, correct? And we start from the
Rabbanan.
Right, roughly about 12 lines down.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Next week, the same time.
Now, next week, the problem is that next week is Tzom Gedalia. We will be fasting.
I don't know what it is.
We won't finish davening until probably 7:15 or something like that, and we'll be hungry, we want to go home and eat something. So I don't know, maybe we should skip next week. The following week is, of course, Matzah Yom Kippur. Again, we'll skip that. And the following week is Sukkot, when I want to go away for a couple of days and spend it with my wife. Right. So we'll skip the next 3 weeks, and then the Wednesday night after Simchas Torah, we'll resume. Okay. We'll have to figure out a time, however, when we want to start. The days are getting shorter, as we see.
Mm-hmm.
Probably at that time, the davening will be somewhere about 6 o'clock or so, that particular week. And if it's 6 o'clock, maybe we ought to daven and go home and have something to eat, and then come back, and we'll learn, let's say, at about 7:30 or something like that. Okay, how does that sound to you?
7:30 sounds good.
So we'll meet at 7:30. I mean, the rabbi put down, I think, 7 o'clock in the
room. Well, will you finish davening 6 o'clock?
I think we'll between 6 and 6:30. We should probably be finished off.
Oh, so you have to rush home and eat, and then come back.
Well, I don't know. Do you think that there's time enough? I mean, to daven and go home and eat.
No.
Or would you rather do it right after? I mean, let's say to learn at 7 o'clock the way we're doing tonight.
That's.
But I know I could use some food inside of me.
Yeah. Well, either that or make it for 8 o'clock, 8 to 9.
I don't like to start too late because we lose our cable.
I have a compromise.
Yes, 7:45. All right, would that be more convenient?
Sure.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
All right. So we'll meet at 7:45. I'm going to put it down on my bichlo over here.
Yeah. Well, I think that you made me for rushing around.
Yeah.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. Indigestion, eating, and so forth. 21st of October, we resume studying.
At 7:45.
Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
21st of October, 7:30.
There we are at 21st of October. It's 7:30.
Okay. Before we start, I do have to ask you something. Okay? The rabbi was concerned about the fact that, now that the separation between mincha time and between the time that we learn, we're having a little bit schwachkeit making the minyan. He wanted me to ask you whether you would prefer to come, let's say, to the early service, that we have now, at, for example, next week at 4:45, and then to learn right after from, let's say, approximately 5:15 till about 6:15, 6:30, and then go home and you're finished.
So, personally, I would prefer it. That's my vote.
Yeah, why not?
I would be here anyway. Sam and I would be here.
I can make it.
Okay. All right, because that way then, okay, very
what
good.
Time would they start? What time would they start learning?
Well, we would start learning right after Marav, right. Now, Marav finishes, let's say, at about 5:15, 5:40 or something like that. Then we sit down, we learn for about an hour or so, and then go home. So we'll tell the wife to make dinner a little bit later, but that's still not...
then you have the evening to yourself and
okay.
The home
better,
will be
better
fresh.
Than chopping it up and running back.
Back and forth, certainly.
Right.
Like tonight.
All right, good.
And is the rabbi going to change his class too that way?
Well, I don't know what he wants to do. You see, he has a different clientele over there. Primarily, his clientele is the viper.
Oh, right. He has the real intelligence.
Right.
Like you said.
So
we're recording all this.
It's possible that one or two men fall in over there too, but primarily it was the same guys.
Oh, the women cling to him. Okay, I see.
Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. Okay.
Let's get down to the
whatever we're doing over there. Right. No, I want to remind you again, what was the inyan that we were discussing at the very end of Mem Ches Omid Beis and, the first few lines that we did. So we'll do a little bit of reviewing after 3 weeks of not leading. It's good to review a little bit. So, we are right now, the inyan that we are discussing, if you remember, is the grace after meals, Birkas HaMazon,
right.
We also have to bear one thing that I didn't stress particularly the last time, but it's obvious, you know, from what we're studying tonight, and we'll see that you have to bear in mind that the Nusach, you know, exactly what to say, this was in the process of being formulated in those days. They did not have the Siddur that we have, and, you know, as a result of the various suggestions that they make over here in the discussion, as we'll see, so then the Siddur, subsequently, when, you know, they first began to compile Siddurim, so they incorporated these into a standard Nusach. So what was the Nusach? The Nusach itself before was the fact, you know, that people would say they knew the general theme and they would try to phrase it as best as they possibly could. And of course, some people were more learned, as we saw, than others, and the result that the more learned would try to be Moitzi the people who were less learned, and this is the reason why, for example, one person would bench on behalf of everybody, just as, for example, under certain circumstances, the chazan is Moitzi, the Eilim. If they don't know how to daven, so if they listen, they answer Amen. So in that particular case, it's as if they are fulfilling. Naturally, if a person knows how to daven, then he is not yotzei with the davening of the chazan. I mean, there are certain reasons why we still have, but the chazan is davening, first of all, in order to be motzi people who are not skilled enough in davening. Secondly, in order to sort of set a pace, and also to introduce those congregational prayers that can only be said with a minyan. I'm thinking in terms of a kaddish, a kedusha, you know, that can only be done when you have a minyan, because you can't do it otherwise. Or kriya satorah is another thing that's dependent upon a minyan. Okay.
But coming back to the siddur, what period are you talking about? When was the first siddur really put together? And what in terms of time?
The earliest siddur that we have a copy of is the siddur of Rabbi Amram Gaon. And Rabbi Amram Gaon lived, I would say, approximately around the 8th century of our common era.
8th century?
Right.
Before printing was invented?
Yes, definitely.
So this was all handwritten siddur?
Oh, absolutely. Whatever was written in those days in the form of a book was all handwritten.
So the ordinary common person couldn't have a siddur then?
But that was a printed siddur?
No, it was handwritten. People, you know, so from scribes and so, and they would copy it down.
Yeah, Gutenberg press was invented.
Then they would bind it together and so on. And, you know, people tried to get hold, but it wasn't the case that every person was able to go into his Meicher's Forum store, you know, and buy himself a siddur. You couldn't do it in those days. And, you know, just as Sifrei Torah, you know, remain handwritten to this very day. So the earliest Siddurim were like that too. All manuscripts.
And I can understand why then the Shliach Tzibor was the center of the prayer. Because people couldn't read the prayers.
As I mentioned sometime later, you know, in addition to the basic Korah, the davening, the poets became active. Like, for example, the Ezra Kallior, he created hundreds and hundreds of poems, many of which were incorporated in the davening. And then along came other poets who also wrote what we call the piyutim. Piyut is what we mean when I say poems over here. In other words, these are poems that were created, and then gradually they were added to the liturgy. But that was only possible either if the chazan was extremely skilled in presenting the poetry, and people would come and listen to it, and so on and so forth. But it became even more possible, you know, once people began to get more and more copies of Siddurim, that they could incorporate these leaves and so on. But it wasn't really until printing was developed that you could have mass distribution of not only a Siddur, but also a Gemara and things like that and so on. Bibles, they all, I mean, sure. People had copies of Bibles, but again, you know, it was handwritten, all of this. You know.
And only the rich could afford it, the common person.
Right. Person would try to save money in order to buy it. So we can understand a little bit better why we have this business over here, wherein they're suggesting different formulations. All right. So let's look again, three lines from the bottom on Mem Ches, where it says, Tani Rabbi Eliezer Omer. All right. They're talking about Birkas HaMazon, all right? And, all right, you remember, just a few lines prior to that, they had derived the idea from the Ochalta, the Savota, the Rachlis, or Shem Lekef, and so on and so forth. And they said that each word spoke about a different part of the grace after meals. That one referred to Hazon Nisoilam, another one referred to the land, in other words, you know, the Alhamazon, another one referred to, Nechomo, Binyan Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth, okay? And then, of course, Atova Meitiv, one of them said that this too was sort of biblically, but by and large, as we see, the feeling was that this was created by the Chachomim after the great tragedy that took place, and they wanted to thank God for the fact that the Harugei Beitar, the people who were slain in Beitar, were finally brought to Kibura, and to suggest the fact that we have to be grateful to God for whatever He measures out to us. He is our judge, and so we have to accept His judgment, whether it is for those things which are good to us or those things which, unfortunately, we all experience. We have ourselves in life too.
Right.
All right. So Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, I'm reviewing a few lines just to freshen our memory. He says that Kol Shalei Amar Eretz Chevnet Erochov or Bebirkas Oros Malchus Beisav Leivishalom LeYotzi Leifelosim. Okay. Third line of the previous page, right. Yeah, okay. So Rabbi Eliezer said that if a person did not mention the phrase Eretz Chemnet HaRechov, in other words, a land which is precious, which is good, and which is wide, in the Birkas HaOretz, which is of course the second bracha of the benching, or he failed to mention Malchus Beis Dovid, right? In Bonei Yerushalayim, which is the third bracha, he says Lo Yotzei Ydei Chavos, and he has not really fulfilled the mitzvah of benching the way he's supposed to bench. These are topics that have to be mentioned in the course of the grace after meals in their proper place. Nochem Azokein Omer, Nochem Azokein came along and he said, Sorosha Yiska Bob Riz says you also have to mention not just Eretz Chemnet HaRechov, but you also have to mention the Bris, the Al-Bris Hoshka Santo Serena, as we say, okay? In other words, the covenant. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, Sorosha Yiska Bob Torah. He says you have to mention also Torah. The Altar Rosko Shilamaritana. You remember, do you need copies of the Siddurim in front of you?
No.
You remember the text of the benching, okay? So these are all elements that have to be mentioned. None of them should be omitted from that second bracha. Kolimi Omer, he says, Sorek Sheyagdim Bris Lesori, he says that when we formulate this bracha, first we have to mention Bris, the Al Bris Lesham Serenu, and then that has to precede Torah, the Al Torah Stoshel Maraton, which of course is exactly what we do today. But remember that if it weren't for the suggestion, we might think that Torah should, for example, precede Bris. Why should Torah precede Bris? Because the Lord's Torah is so all-encompassing in life. And so why does he give priority to Bris? So he explains. Shezu nito b'sholosh brisos. He says that the Torah was given amidst three covenants. And what were the three covenants? So Rashi says the three covenants. So firstly he says, b'shloshe makomos, Nitdat Holy Israel says there were three different areas, three different locales where the Torah was given to the people of Israel. The Sinai, first of all, was given to us on Mount Sinai, right? Then it was given to us the Ohel Moed, okay?
In the Mishkan.
Yes, it was given to us in the Mishkan, okay? And then the Har Grizim, the Avos Moav. And the third place was upon Mount Grizim and the plains of Moab. Plains of Moab, of course, on the other side of the Jordan. And then Har Grizim was like for confirmation, if you remember in Parsha Kisavo, where the people of Israel faced the two mountains, right, Har Grizim and Har Ebal, and the Levium, the Gladim, they have to say, blessed is the man, cursed is the man, and so on and so forth.
Is that where Moses saw the promised land? Moab, the mountain?
He saw from Moab, the mountains of Moab, specifically from Har Nebo, which is Rosh HaPisgah, which is the top of one of the peaks in that range that we find over there. Yeah. Matter of fact, where my son lives, in Maale Adumim, that particular section where he lives is called Mitzpeh Nebo, which means literally, the observation tower, or this place where you can observe Mount Nebo, because Mount Nebo is on the other side of the Jordan River in the distance over there. So that was the name that they gave to it. All right. So there were three places where the Torah, you know, where God made a covenant with the people of Israel and gave them the Torah. Okay? But how about the bris of, you know, what we call, what we normally think of when we talk about bris, we think of course of circumcision, bris milah.
Right.
So he says, "Bezum," no, that's the top of the next page, says the bris, this was given the Yud Gimel Brisos, in 13 covenants. Now what are the 13 covenants? The answer is that if we take a look where God spoke to Abraham and he said, you know, you are to circumcise yourself and you are to circumcise your children. The word bris happens to be mentioned 13 times over there. Bris, brisi, briso, brisko, etc., etc. Okay? So, because there are 13 mentions of it, therefore the implication is that this bris is even more important to a certain extent than the bris that was given when the people of Israel received Torah. And therefore, we give it precedence. And that's why we say the Abrisko Shah Santa Surainu. And then we say the Altar Rasajan. Abba Omer says Sir Shayuma Bahidoa Tukhila Vasal. He says that in this particular second bracha, you also have to express thanksgiving to God both at the beginning of the bracha and also at the end. And of course we follow it. At the beginning, how do we start it? No delacho and shamakinishkalosainu, etc., etc. Right? We give thanks to you. So this then what do we have? The alakol ashamakin and after modim lach, right? And for all these things, O Lord our God, we give thanks unto you. So both at the beginning of the bracha and at the end of the bracha, we must give thanks unto God. Okay? We have poches, and if a person omitted lo yifkos be echad, right? He should not leave out, he should at least give one expression of thanksgiving. Of course, we follow the other opinion that we say both the beginning and end.
Yeah.
But he suggests that at least one of these things should be said, you know, in the second paragraph, the second bracha of the bench. Bechol hapoches be echad. And if a person fails to mention any expression of thanksgiving in that particular bracha, then harezeh megunah. And in that particular case, this is a miserable action which deserves to be condemned. Okay? Bechol achosei mandchil arotzos bivik hasoras. And anybody who concludes this second bracha by saying Baruch Atah Hashem Manchil Arotzos, blessed be thou, O Lord, who gives lands as a heritage, simply of course because remember we said it's called the bracha al Ha'aretz. Okay, so that therefore someone who is formulating, you know, decided that the bracha should end not the way we do it, you know, al Ha'aretz bela Muslim, but instead he says Baruch Atah Hashem Manchil Arotzos. So he says that whoever concludes this bracha by using that expression, right, or Umoshias Yisrael, the Bonei Yerushalayim, instead of ending the next bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Barachama, I mean, we say Bonei Barachama Yerushalayim, or there are those who simply leave out the word Barachama, by the way, so that it ends exactly like in the Shemoneh Esrei, and they simply say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. You take a look, you'll see that. In some Siddurim, I mean, that's not the usual wording that you'll find. But there are some Siddurim where the word Barachamov is put into brackets. Because some people follow an opinion that the bracha should simply end Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. Okay? So, Hare Zebur, he says, if you say Moshe Yisrael, in other words, blessed be thou, O Lord, the Savior of Israel, instead of, you know, Bonei Yerushalayim, God who will rebuild Jerusalem. So it shows that he's an ignorant person. He's a boor. Anybody who omits saying, you know, a mention of the covenant of the bris or the mention of Torah in the blessing, you know, the second blessing of the benching, the Birkat Haaretz, blessing for the land, or if he omits a Malchus Beisdovu Benoi Shaloyim, right, does not mention the kingdom of King David that we hope, you know, Malchus Beisdovu Shechecho, right? So, Lo Yotzi Deicha Basal. He has not completed the obligation of benching properly. Messiah Leila Rav Eli. This opinion also is a support for an opinion mentioned by Rabbi Eloi, the Omer Rabbi Eloi, Omer Rabbi Yaakov Barafa, that he said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Barafa, he said, Mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of Rebbe, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he said, Kol Shalom Amar, Bris Vesor, Be Kibre Chasorot, Amal Chus Beisot, Ben Rishalayim, Li Yotzer De Chasor. So we see that the opinion that he expressed parallels an expression that was made by Rebbe much earlier, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi also said the same thing, that in the benching you must include the mention of Torah and bris of the covenant in the second bracha and Malchus Beis David in the third one. Peligre bo, now there's a disagreement about this. Abba Yosei Batas Taif, Rabbanan. There's a disagreement between Abba Yosei, the son of Dostai, and the rabbis. Chad Omar, one of them says that Hatov Hametiv Tzricha Malchus. One authority says that when you make the next bracha, you know, the fourth bracha, Baruch Hator Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, okay, Elohim Malkeinu, etc., etc., okay. You know, but basically, what is it called? It's called Hatov Hametiv, because of the phrase, you know, we praise God who is good, Umeitiv Lakol, right, and he does good unto all human beings, right? Or as we say, Umeitiv, Umeitiv, Yeitiv Lakol, right? First we say Melech Hatov Hametiv Lakol, and then we say Shem Chol Yom Hametiv. All right. So, at any rate, he says that when you make this bracha, you have to mention Baruch Hator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, not simply say Baruch Hator Hashem. So that's what he means when he says it requires Malchus. It requires that we praise God as being Melech Ha'olam, as being the King of the universe. The Chad Omar, but the other authority says, and it's with the Malchus. We don't have to. All we have to say is Baruch Hator Hashem, okay, Avinu Malkinu, etc. Okay, and don't say Elokeinu Melech Olam. So, why this difference of opinion? So he says, Man the Yomar Tzricha Malchus, the one who says that it requires a mention Elokeinu Melech Olam, the reason is Kosova the Rabban, because he felt that this bracha was ordained by the rabbis, they were the ones. So that inasmuch as this is a new bracha, which has been ordained, you know, to be recited as part of the benching, therefore we should recite Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam as a preface to it. Oman Omar in the Tzricha Malchus Kosov the Raisa. The other one is of the opinion that we mentioned a little bit earlier before, that one opinion said that from the Pasuk, if you remember Hashem Nosan Moch, there was one interpretation that we have to accept whatever God gives unto us, right? And so therefore, according to that authority, then this is also Midor Raiso. In other words, this is ordained by the Torah, and since the entire benching is ordained by the Torah, so therefore we don't have to add an additional one. Well, needless to say, we know which opinion we have accepted. We've accepted the first opinion, the one that says that in as much, right, because as I said before, essentially most of the authorities are in agreement that, you know, Hatov, Ha'metiv, and so in other words, the fourth blessing of the Birkas HaMazon was ordained by the rabbis, as we learned before, in order to thank God for the fact that even bad things have a good point in life too, and we have to learn to accept it. So, therefore, since it's been the Rabbanan, then the first opinion says it was not covered by the Raisa, so you have to make your own. You have to add Baruch Hashem Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam as if it were a brand new bracha. Okay. Now, they get back again now to the third bracha. Tanu Rabbanan, Mahu Chosayim Bevinyan Yerushalayim. He wants to know what should be the proper way in which we conclude the bracha in the bracha which speaks about Binyan Yerushalayim, which speaks about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Okay? So, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says that the proper ending would be Moshiach Yisrael. Excuse me, remember we said before that this is not a good idea. But nevertheless, somebody did say it, and so here is where we find out who is the author of that particular opinion. That is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, right? And he says that the ending should be Baruch HaKadosh Hashem, Moshiach Yisrael, and the Savior of Israel. So they asked the following question. They said, Moshiach Yisrael, you want to end it with the blessing, you know, they want to conclude the bracha by saying, Moshiach Yisrael, the Savior of Israel. In, yes, but Binyan Yerushalayim, no. Lo, but you don't want to mention any mention at all about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Eloheimo, but I would say, Af Moshiach Yisrael. I would say that I should say, Bonei Yerushalayim, Af Moshiach Yisrael. And also, in other words, the Savior of Israel. So, sounds good. Okay, so we'll include it, Baruch HaTor Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim, Moshiach Yisrael, right? So why do they object to that? So this one, we're going to see now why they object to that. Okay. See, in hindsight, we know what the proper ending is.
Yeah.
But again, as you can see, at this particular time, you know, they were debating back and forth. What should be the proper wording? What should we include? What would
what
we say if we left it out, right? We would not be fulfilling our mitzvah dancing the way it should be done. So. Okay? So, Rabbi Barav Huna, one of the great authorities in Babylonia, so he happened to be invited to the home of the Reish Galusa. Remember the Reish Galusa? He was the head of the Babylonian community. Literally it means the head of the exile.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
the Galus.
And this is why they sometimes refer to him by the fancy title of the Exilarch.
Exilarch.
Yeah. Well, it's from the Greek, you know, exil, right? And the Ark, you know, the A-R-C-H is from the Greek word, which means the leader. So in other words, the leader of the exile, right? You know, like you have oligarch and the monarch and so on and so forth, you see. And so that's what the Ark is. And incidentally, in Greek, it also means beginning, for example. In the Greek translation in the Bible, where we have Bereshis, Bara Elokim, so they translated enarche in the beginning. So it means either beginning or rosh or something like that. As you can see, that there's a relation of ideas, even though Greek and Hebrew are not the same language, but there is a relationship in thought, at least in this particular case. All right. So getting back over here, so Rav Bar Huna was invited to the home of the Reish Galusa. And, of course, the Reish Galusa then honored him at the end of the meal, right? And he asked him, you know, to lead the bench. Okay. So he led the benching, and they came to this bracha, in other words, the third bracha of the benching. And the Gemara says, Posach Bechado, V'siyem Betarte, which means that he began with one subject, and he wound up with two. Now, what exactly is that? So, for this, we have to see what Rashi says. Okay? Okay. Pasach Bachada, you see where it is? Okay, it would be roughly about 15 lines down.
Next to the four roof.
Yeah, there's a period over there, okay?
Oh, I see. That's Pasach.
Right, so it's Pasach Bechada, right? In other words, he began with one ninyan, and then, you know, he concluded with two. Yeah. So it says, Kesher Hiskil Bebracha, when he began this bracha, in other words, you know, the third bracha, Lo Amar Rachem Adeshem Ayiswael Amecha, Yerushalayim Merecha, Elo Achas Mehen. Now we know that when we bench, we say, Rachim Hashem Lekein HaYisrael Amecha, right? the Ayush Laim Erech. In other words, we pray to God that he shall have compassion both upon, you know, Israel, your people, and Yerushalayim, your holy city, right? So, Ela Achas Mehen. In other words, he mentioned one, but he did not mention the other. We don't know exactly, you know, whether it was the mention made of Yisrael Amecha, or whether it was Rachem HaRashem Lekeinu Al Yerushalayim Erecha. We don't know which it is. But he only mentioned one thing. But Ushechosam, when he completed the bracha, then Chosam Bishtayim, he completed it by saying Baruch Ata Hashem Moshiach Yisrael, right? So we see over here that there is an authority who says that the bracha should be Baruch Ata Hashem Moshiach Yisrael Vodei Yerushalayim. Okay. And this is what he did in the house of the Reish Galusa. Okay, so Omer Rav Chista. So Rav Chista said to him, Gevurta lemechta betarte, tell me, do you think that it's really a gewaldic action? Gevurta, you know, the word gibor, right?
Mm.
Well, do you think it's really a great thing to conclude with two different things? The Or Tanya, didn't we learn, and of course this was quoted just a few lines before, that Rabbi Omer, that Rabbi says, Ein Chos Ben Bishtayim, that we do not conclude the bracha by mentioning two different things. We should only conclude with what? With one. Which of course is the practice that we follow. We simply say, Bonei Yerushalayim, or Bonei Rachmot Yerushalayim. Okay. So, getting back to this, Gufo. Gufo always means, all right, let's get back to this business now, okay? Rabbi Omer, you tell me that Rabbi says, Ein Chos Ben Bishtayim, right? So, Yisive Levi the Rabbi. So Levi asked Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Dosi, he asked him, Al Ha'oretz, the Al Ha'mozon. The implication is, I mean, this is how we wind up the bracha, right? And so we say, Baruch Ator Hashem, Al Ha'oretz Al Ha'mozon. But he's asking him, is this really the way we should conclude? Didn't you say that you don't conclude the bracha with two different things? It concluded only one thing. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So how come then that you know that the bracha ends Al Ha'oretz Al Ha'mozon? So the answer is, he says, Eretz Dimatka Mozon. Okay. Because we're talking about the land which in turn gives us the Mozon. So that really we are speaking about one and the same thing. When
so
we praise
really
God
one
for
thing.
The land.
One thing.
Right. But it's the land that's giving us the Mozon, and so therefore it's as if it were just one subject. Okay? Then they ask the same question about some of the other brachas, where we have two things mentioned. The next bracha they mentioned is Al Ha'oretz, the Al Ha'peros, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, that's a bracha that we recite in what we call the Bracha Achrena. And or, as the Gemara called it all along, you know, Bracha Meyein Gimel, Meyein Shalosh, okay? In other words, the condensed version of the benching that we recite after eating fruits of Eretz Yisrael, specifically, of course, those things mentioned in the Torah. Right. Alamichia is, of course, for, you know, cake, and other things that are made out of grain, right? And Alaperos, Al Orzvel Aperos is specifically for figs, dates, pomegranates, for those fruits, okay? Olives, another fruit, you know, and grapes, because grapes, as a fruit, this is the bracha you have to make for it. When grapes are turned into wine, then of course becomes geffen, all geffen, fair geffen. But as long as you know, the grapes are there only for eating, then it's all you know, it's all haperos, okay? So here again, how do we conclude the bracha? Baruch Ator Hashem, right? Al Ha'oretz, the Al Ha'peros, right? So isn't that implying then two different things that we're adding in the bracha? So he says no, because likewise it is Eretz, right, Al Ha'oretz, the Mafka Peros, is the land itself that brings forth the fruits. So again, you know, praising God for one thing. Alright, now they come to something that we're all familiar with from our Yontif. The bracha ends, Baruch Ator Hashem, right? the Kadesh Israel, the Hasbanim. We praise God who sanctifies Israel and the festive seasons, which is what Zmanim means over here. So, are we again praising God for two different things? So he answers, Yisrael, the Kadshin Hu Lizmanim. This is a very interesting thing. We praise God who does what? He sanctifies Israel, who in turn proclaim when the holy festivals are to be observed. You have to bear in mind, what are they referring to over here? They're referring to over here the fact that the, pardon me? Yes, Sukkot, Shavuot, Pesach, but more than that, the very even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because all of these are based upon, in ancient days, the observation of the moon. When the witnesses would come to the Beis Din and say, you know, that we saw the new moon, and they would be questioned and everything else.
We don't want to
right. And then, you know, if the Beis Din decided that they could accept the testimony, then they would declare that this is Rosh Chodesh. And that being the first day of the month, from that point on, then we know, you know, when to celebrate the Yom Tevet. As for example, we know, once we know when it's Rosh Chodesh, then we know that Yom Kippur has to be the 10th day of Tishrei. We know that Sukkot has to begin on the 15th day, right? You understand? That Shmini Atzeres has to be the 22nd day of the month of Tishrei, and so on. The same thing with Pesach. We know that Pesach has to be the 15th day of the month of Nisan, okay? And with Shavuos, it's already a different problem. But the point is that if we know when we celebrate Pesach, then
we
in that particular case,
from there.
Right, after the first day, we count, you know, and the 50th day after that is going to be Shavuos, okay?
6 weeks.
So that all this is dependent upon the Beis Din itself. Mm-hmm. So that therefore, he's saying, you know, when we praise God, Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmanim, we're saying that we praise God who has sanctified Israel, who in turn sanctify the festive days. Okay, David, your question.
Well, what if somebody at the time of tonight wanted to be a wise guy and say and try to poke holes in it? You know, it's me. I mean, this is our tradition. And I remember being in Yerushalayim and going on one of these tours, you know, and when you get to the southwest corner of the Beit HaMikdash, to show you, we're actually the Kohanim would blow the shofar to.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But let's say somebody wanted to be contradictory, in effect, say that if you were Ma'avre Hayardin, if you were standing a little below Mount Nebo, just on the other side of Eretz Israel, really, it's not Eretz Israel that is showing you the time of the Hasanim, it's the moon. And you can see the moon very well at the same time from outside Eretz Israel.
So for that, I have to answer that. The mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, I don't mean what we say Saturday night, you know, once a month, but I mean the proclaiming, you know, when actually is Kiddush HaChodesh, let's call it that, okay? A Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done by a Beis Din in Eretz Israel. Ideally, the Beis Din should be in the Lishkas HaSanhedrin in the temple. Subsequently, they still did it after the destruction of the temple in Yavne, because Yavne was considered as the place where the Sanhedrin had gone into exile, but under Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he still